Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm so excited today. We are doing another episode of our top five series that we've been doing since the beginning of the year, where we talk about, have different guests on, and we talk about movies aside from Hallmark. We give our top fives on a particular topic. And this month, we are talking about our favorite romances, so pretty broad. And when I have very special guests, I'm Rachel, and I have Sean and Jennifer Chandler are here. This is so exciting for me. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you. So why don't you each just introduce yourself real quick and to our to the Hallmarkies audience.
Well, my name is Sean Chandler. I have a YouTube channel called Sean Chandler Talks About, and basically it's a place for me to start conversations with other people that like to talk about movies just as much as me. So talk a lot about comic book movies and other nerdy stuff kind of like that.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I am your wife, Jennifer. I do not have my own YouTube channel, but Rachel's had me on a podcast once before and invited me on this one, and I like her, so I said yes.
This is so exciting. I am very complimented by that. And yes, if you recognize Sean's voice, you will remember him from our holiday horror episode, which was really fun that we got to do in December, where we talked about Gremlins and Anna and the Apocalypse. And that was very fun. And so this is our second time interview returnee for Sean on the podcast. So
I've been on the podcast once before. I don't know if it was this one or not.
Yeah. Yes. You were on Rachel's Reviews, the tournament where we talked about all of these movies and more. And it was pretty fun.
Yes, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was indeed.
So this is a phenomenal task. We really should have narrowed it down in some way. Just having was very difficult, but
it was ambitious.
Yes, it was very ambitious. And what in your mind, for both of you, what makes a good romantic film in your mind? What about you, Sean? What do you think?
I mean, you have to care about the two leads and the characters. There has to be something about them as individuals that you're rooting for them, as well as then when they come together, it's even more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you think, Jennifer?
I don't know. I obviously it's a lot about the main two people, but I like entourage romance movies where it's all like kind of familial. We'll get into my list obviously in a minute, but where it's not just about the two people, it's about their environments and their friends and their family. And sometimes the city is involved kind of as a character. And so I really enjoy it when it's kind of a cohesive story like that.
Yeah.
It seems like the inherent to the genre is kind of high concept movies in general, or there's some scenario that brings two opposite people together. And so then coming up with a fun little adventure for the two people to go on, whether that's a literal adventure or just some bizarre scenario or miscommunication. Mm-hmm. What's one of those that's just enjoyable to be in that conflict?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you have to keep that conflict. You have to pitch it just right. Because if they're too like mean and nasty to each other, then for too long, then you just don't even like it. You don't like the experience. You don't care. You don't want them to be happy. You don't want them to get together because you're just like, these people are terrible. And so many get that wrong, I think, in the dynamic. And, you know, they just have to have good chemistry, which I think has got to be the most frustrating thing for casting, because you can have everything perfect and it should match, but then it just doesn't for whatever reason. And
that's what I was yeah. thinking that exact same thing, like Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman, which is weird because in the interview stuff, like the two of them as humans seem to like get along really well, but in the movie that just didn't seem like there was a spark there.
Well, and like, what's Failure to Launch.
Yes.
Have you seen that one?
Ooh, that one's rough.
Yeah. I really like parts of it. But you can tell that they're just
not quite. And a
great
supporting cast.
Yes. That's, I mean, like I said, it's a fun group of people to get to know, but they just don't like each other.
Yeah. And we saw way more of Terry Bradshaw in that movie than I ever.
For sure. For sure. I forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that back.
Oh, we should watch that tonight.
I don't think we have our copy right now. I went it out.
Yeah, that one was, there were some rough ones with Kate Hudson there for a while. I guess that was
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
Parker.
Sarah,
you're right.
Jessica Parker. Jessica Parker.
I also really dislike the Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
I haven't seen that one.
It's another McConaughey. Oof. I mean, I love Christmas Carol, and they tried to do Christmas Carol, but with dating, and it was terrible. I did not like it. It does have
sounds Emma like a winner.
Yeah, it was really bad. But yeah, I don't know. There's all different ones. I did include I include one on my list that isn't a romantic comedy because we're going a little more broad. But yeah, you just got to have that chemistry.
Yeah.
Between the characters, and so let's talk about some of our honorable mentions. So I'll just go through a bunch really rapid fire that I have on my list. So I have Singing in the Rain, Dirty Dancing, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, The Sound of Music, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Pillow Talk, and I actually have You've Got Mail on my honorable mentions just because I felt I had a feeling we might talk about it, and I've talked about it so much on the channel that I thought that I would have to bring up some other ones. But yeah, there's so many good ones. I love Casablanca. Just so many great ones that you can talk about. But Jennifer, what were some of your honorable mentions?
Let me see. So I have to mention Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Because it's a guilty pleasure. When we were engaged, I lived in what was going to be our apartment by myself, and it was super, super shady. And I couldn't sleep because I was freaking out. So every night.
If there's a blood spot in the carpet when we moved in. There was a guy that was stabbed to death in the parking or in the apartment across from us. And then we got robbed. Like, it was rough.
Yeah. But we didn't know that at the time. I'd like to think we would have made a different decision if we had. But
this is a great price.
So specifically, I could hear all the doors open and close, and I couldn't tell if it was our door. So I'm upstairs, and I'm thinking someone's coming in my downstairs. So I went downstairs, and I slept on the couch, but I could still hear everything. So I watched Sweet Home Alabama on a loop for like ever, for months, until we finally got married and he moved in and then I could sleep.
your comfort watch there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good one.
Yeah, so Sweet Home Alabama, Alex and Emma. Uh-huh. I think you and I have talked about that one before.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Sean does not like it.
No.
At all.
No.
It wasn't my favorite, but
I just haven't seen
it in a while.
I think part of what really makes me like that movie is Norah Jones is the soundtrack, basically. And I really like her. We danced to a Norah Jones song at our wedding for our first dance. Let's see. The Holiday. That was an honorable mention. I love that one. Can't help myself. Mm-hmm. And let's see. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Solid classic. Mm-hmm. And then Crazy Rich Asians. Mm-hmm. That was such a good movie. It was probably the best romantic comedy that we've seen in a long time. It was more like the classical structure of a romantic comedy, and not so much crass humor just thrown in as there tends to be these days. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that one.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Sean? Did you have any honorable mentions?
I got Enchanted. So
I love that one.
You normally think about that one as Disney princess movie about live action, but at the core of it is obviously a romance.
Yes.
And then Music and Lyrics with Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant. And it's all about music, and I like music, and then they're fun, some fun supporting cast. And so I just think Hugh Grant just has great timing, and he has so many of these just little zinger lines that he just kind of throws in there. And
he's so self-deprecating in a way that makes him not unlikable.
Right. It's just like, it's hard to imagine these lines being nearly as funny if anyone else said them. And so, and then I like Drew Barrymore in these types of movies too.
Yeah.
She's really funny in that one. She, I don't know if she made up the word, but I've used it ever since I hypochondriacal. She's like, oh, I'm a little hypochondriacal. And I'm, that's totally me. And yeah. So I use that word all the time now.
Yeah, and you gotta love Notting Hill. It's so good. I mean,
I haven't seen that in a long time.
When he is pretending to be the reporter from Horse and Hound, that scene is so funny, I think.
Have you seen that one?
Sort of.
It's really good. And I also just, I think that whole scene when they're at dinner is so well done. It just feels like a real grouping of real friends.
Mm-hmm.
Written very, very, very well. But all right, well, let's dive in. It's going to be fun. So
this was so hard.
I know. It really is. So, all right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
These are just five. They're not in order, so don't hold me to this, but they're just five that I like. So for my fifth choice is my non-romantic comedy choice. It's the Alfred Hitchcock classic, Notorious, and this movie is so good. It's Ingrid Bergman and Cary Grant. And she plays the daughter of a notorious German Nazi guy, and he plays this like CIA agent kind of person, and they basically get her to agree to go undercover after her father is sort of is prosecuted, and she agrees to kind of clear her name, and she agrees to work with the CIA, and so she ends up going undercover to one of her father's friends, and she even goes to the point where she has to start sort of a relationship with this guy, but she all the time is in love with Cary Grant, because
who wouldn't be? I mean, really.
That's right.
I wouldn't be.
And it is so romantic, and it's so tense, and it has, I think, the best kissing scenes in any movie ever. It's so...
That's such a specific award.
Yeah. It's so... Yes, because she's... I don't want to give it all away, so you got to see it. But yeah, she's just getting increasingly sort of more desperate. And there's a point where he thinks that he's mad at her for various reasons. And so there's a tension just keeps rising and rising and rising. And is the guy going to, that guy she's having this relationship with, but is she going to figure out that she's really a turncoat? She's really a spy. What's going to happen? It's very tense. It's very good. It's a little bit of a slow burn. So some people might not love it for that reason, but I'd like it for that reason. And it's, of course, beautifully filmed because it's Hitchcock, and it's a great movie. If you want a tense, romantic movie, it's really good.
With extra good kissing.
With extra good kissing, yes.
I don't think I've seen that one. I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah, it's really good. And don't watch the one about the rapper. This is notorious.
Notorious B.I.G.
What was she talking about?
Yes. So, Sean, what do you have as number five? It's your fifth pick.
Okay, number five, we'll continue the non-comedy romances and go with The Notebook.
Yes.
So this one came out like right before we met each other. We met each other and then we moved 2,000 miles away from each other. And so had our own little epic romance. And so we would do these by phone dates where we would push play on the movie at the same time and be on the phone and watch The Notebook together.
We watched other movies too, but.
The Notebook and Batman Begins. That was those two. And
I don't think that's real.
It's real enough for the narrative. But so, you know, and it's a fun one because you're seeing Ryan Gosling before he was like big star guy. Yeah. That's mostly in like these very serious films. And so doing
Rachel
kind of.
Rachel McAdams wasn't anybody yet either, was she?
Yeah.
Anyone famous.
But both of them were. Person. Yeah. They'd done stuff before, but this was like the first one that was like them front and center on for the mainstream. And so then, you know, that was kind of a big deal. And I was going to college out in South Carolina just an hour or two away from one of the beaches in the movie, Edisto Island. And so we used to go out there frequently to
the city. It doesn't matter. Sorry.
So we would head on out there very frequently for little romantic dates. And then just driving out to this location, driving all these romantic sites and old houses and stuff. And so just a real cool little deal.
Yeah. That began the sad career of James Marsden as the
the backup guy.
The backup guy. Yeah.
Was that after 27 Dresses?
No, it was before.
So he got one more.
Yeah.
He's the best, and he is always second fiddle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always. It's so sad.
Even a little bit, the X-Men 1 and 2, he's still treated that way in those ones as well.
Totally. He is. And yeah, there's a bunch of other ones too. Like, yeah, he is. It's really funny. I was joking. I got to interview the actress who plays his girlfriend in the new Sonic movie. And I was like, should we be suspect here? His relationships don't tend to go well, but.
Oh, it's so sad. So fabulous.
Yeah.
So fabulous.
And The Notebook is interesting too because the characters are all kind of jerks, but I don't know. It still somehow works. I think maybe because you see them as old people. So you're like, okay, nice. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like at the core of the story, it's like shady on so many levels. And it's even shadier if you read the book and the weight of the details of it are kind of different. And you realize like, these are bad people. But somehow it still works.
I think it helps that you see them old because you're like, oh,
yeah,
old people are nice. Magic.
Well, it's so romantic that he's basically making her fall back in love with him over and over again by sharing their story. That's one of the magic pieces of that movie or story or whatever you want to call it. But because they were jerks, but they were jerks together, which, I mean, isn't great. But like, it's not like he was super awful to her and she was just depressed.
They were level of awfulness. Free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call that. But, and I wouldn't want, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not in a relationship like that, but for some reason it works in The Notebook.
Yeah, agreed. So what do you have at number five, Jennifer?
I put You've Got Mail because it was probably the most obvious. So I just figured I'd get it out of the way quickly. I love it. I can't,
can't
stand how much I love that movie. Everything about it is perfect. I love Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I love the soundtrack in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I love, like I was talking about the ensemble cast. I love the cast in that movie. Everybody's phenomenal. New York is basically a character. The bookshop is absolutely a character. Mm-hmm. I love the AOL, You've Got Mail. I love that sound of the dial-up modem. It's just too nostalgic. All of it wrapped together is just perfection. So
Yeah, I knew you were going to mention it, so I just had this honorable mention, but everybody who follows this podcast knows I adore that You've Got Mail. It's one of the most quotable. Amazing.
Is it, did it win our thing?
Yeah. Or was Princess it Princess Bride? Bride?
That's right.
Bride won.
Princess Bride won.
Princess Bride won, yeah. But yeah, I just love it. I think it is so funny, and it has such a great supporting cast, and it has great heart. And it's really about these two people who think that work defines who they are, but really they figure out who they are in this relationship where they're talking outside of work. And that's who they find out that they really are. So I think it's actually kind of interesting in a way, but I just love the writing. It's so hilarious.
Well, it is so good. And to your point of them meeting outside of work and kind of defining themselves by something else, like he was completely wrapped up. I mean, it was a generational thing with his dad and his grandpa.
Well, and same with her.
Right. Well, but they were mom. The kind of the gross side of it, like the big titans of the industry. Right. And then her mom was obviously just the heart and soul of the bookstore. And I liked it because, you know, I feel like she found what her mom would have wanted her to find and got out of the shadow and the past in a bad way. Still remembered it and honored it, you know, but didn't just live her mom's life. She got to do her own thing. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I just love it. I love
it. So I totally want to watch it right now. Like I
know. Maybe right we now. Should do one of those phone watches. That sounds fun.
I'll go watch Power Rangers with the kids.
So, all right. Well, my number four is a movie that I think combines drama and comedy really well. It's Return to Me.
Oh, I love that movie.
With David Duchovny and Minnie Driver. And it actually is pretty sad. It's pretty gut-wrenching.
It's heavy.
Mm. Yeah, but it also has the light. But it's the concept of the movie, if you haven't seen it, is that she is needing a heart transplant. His wife, at the very beginning of the movie, not really that big a spoiler, sorry, but she dies and ends up giving her heart to Minnie Driver. And so then they end up meeting and, you know, she's got his wife's heart, which is just really perfect for a romance. And I don't know. I love the old men that are there. And I love, I forever have wanted to go to an Irish Italian restaurant my whole life. Because that's so great. Whenever you can ever have lasagna with a side of cabbage, I'm like, oh, that's great. But they're so funny, and I love the soundtrack, and I love Bonnie Hunt as her sister is, and Jim Belushi. They're absolutely hilarious.
I love Jim Belushi in that movie.
Yeah, they're so funny as this couple who has like a billion kids, and they're really fun. And it's so heartfelt and it's so charming, and it's great. It's really good. So, Sean, what about you? What's your number four?
My number four, I'll go with Romancing the Stone.
Oh, good one.
So if you don't know what this one is, it's kind of like they tried to do an Indiana Jones type adventure. That's kind of the spin on like a romance novel bent to it. So a romance novel writer ends up on this adventure out in South America and comes across this adventurer guy who has to pay to get her across the country while she's being tracked down by people trying to kill her, and they're trying to find this stone. And so it's kind of like a rom-com. It's kind of like an adventure directed by Robert Zemeckis right before Back to the Future. And so it stars Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. Danny DeVito's in it. And so it's got a great cast. And you get to see a different side to Michael Douglas and just kind of doing this fun, funny adventure role. So he's got a little bit of everybody. There's a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love that she's Chandler's dad on Friends.
Oh, yeah. That is such a good pick. That movie is so funny. And you're right about Michael Douglas, because for a long time he was always have... He'd always have the I don't know, the worst luck with women in movies.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of an interesting, really funny, lighthearted performance from him.
Isn't he married to Catherine Zeta-Jones in real life?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, does he care if he has bad luck with women?
No, probably not.
He won overall.
Yeah. By the way, did you know that she's not Latino, like, at all?
She's Welsh.
I was so surprised by that. I learned that recently, and I was like, oh.
I think I only knew that because I went to Wales and our Welsh friends told us she was Welsh, because I thought she was Spanish because she was in Zorro. Yeah,
I know. I did too, which would be a good one for this list. But
yes.
Anyway.
That's on my honorable mentions now.
Zorro.
Throw it in there. All right. So Jennifer, what's your number four?
I haven't seen this in a long time, but it's on my all-time favorites list, and I could not leave it off this list. I don't even know if it's technically a rom-com, but or a romantic movie. It's Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken.
Oh, good one.
And it's the story of this girl. I can't even remember if she's adopted or she has a terrible family life. She kind of runs away. She basically becomes a stagehand for this traveling performance act where, do you not know what this is?
Horses Dive Into Water.
Yes, where horses dive into water.
I have a sister and she was into horses, I know what this movie is.
So the horse would like run up the ramp and then the lady would be at the top and she'd have to like jump on the horse. And I don't know. I don't want to give it away because there's a plot twist, but it's just such a good movie. Again, I love the characters. Obviously, as a child, I wanted to grow up and be a horse diving girl, which unfortunately is not as common as you might think.
Gabrielle Anwar.
Oh, yeah. Gabrielle Anwar. Yeah. I love that movie. It is so cheesy. If you watch it now, it is the syrupiest, cheesiest movie you've ever seen, but I love it.
And he is so handsome.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
The man. Oh. The younger man.
Yeah.
Son, right?
Yes.
Son of the other performer. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget his, I don't think he did a whole lot else. I forget his name, but yeah, it's a really, really good movie.
It's a good movie.
A cheesy Disney romance, 90s, perfect.
Which, why wouldn't you?
Right.
It's amazing.
I love all of our choices so far.
We're very good at this.
Yes, we are. Okay, so my number three is a little more recent, is Sing Street. I absolutely loved Sing Street when it came out 2016. I just love everything about it. John Carney, he's a filmmaker who I normally just love his movies, but he does have usually a lot of swearing in his movies, which is fine, but they're not one I would normally recommend to Hallmarkies. But this one, PG-13, and it's so charming about this kid who basically wants to impress this girl. He's in Ireland in the 80s or whatever, and he asks her if she will be in a music video for his band. The problem is he doesn't have a band. And so he has to basically make his band up. And John Carney's movies are always about bands and musicians, and he always writes his own original music as part of the movie, and these songs are so great. I think they're just so contagious, so like, just, you just love, they're just great songs. I was so furious when none of them got nominated and the La La Land Sands songs all got nominated, because I think the Sing Street songs are much better. I was very upset, but anyway, this is really great chemistry with not just with the girl, but with also everybody in the band, and also the relationship between this kid and his brother, his older brother, is so well done, so well written, and I just love it. I think it's such a joyous, lovely little movie. So, have you guys seen it?
No.
No, I was just going to say it. I don't think I've seen it, but I'd be curious to hear the music in particular. Yeah. I liked La La Land, but I wasn't like everybody else. Yeah, I wasn't Lala for La La Land.
Exactly. I liked it too. I just didn't think the songs were as good as the Moana songs or as Sing Street songs, personally myself. But anyway, This is just a really sweet little movie. I'd be shocked if you didn't like it. So we'll see. You have to let me know what you think.
For sure.
So, all right, Sean, what's your number three?
Number three, we're going to go with, since we're saying the number three, 13 going on 30.
Good one. So,
kind of big, except with a girl, and Jennifer Garner suddenly goes from 13 to 30. And also all the fun adventures you get with that. And along the way, the boy that had the hots for her when she was 13 turns out to be Mark Ruffalo. And the whole movie, it's like the whole cast of the MCU is in this film in supporting roles. And so, yeah, just a fun little film. Yeah. You like the people. You know, Mark Ruffalo is not the typical, like, the guy you expect to be the rom-com guy, and that's kind of what makes it work so well. And so, yeah, just a fun one.
And Judy Greer in a very rare kind of mean girl role, I would say, for her.
And so I don't even think about it that, because this is the one that I watched the most with her, that I know I define her based off this role. I always assume she's going to be like this in movies. And like, oh, yeah, she's being really nice in this one.
I love that movie.
It's so
I love that it's like the second chance that I'm sure lots of people wish they had. You can go back and be a better person.
Make different
choices.
And it's just interesting to me that, so like at the time, Jennifer Garner's known for Alias, so punching and shooting people in the face. And then she goes from that, and she just seems like, oh, she's so good at playing a 30-year-old with the mind of a 13-year-old.
Isn't that why everyone loves her?
Because she could do a little bit of everything, and she can go from punching people to then just being the new sweetheart.
And daring,
Yeah. Well, and now she's just
like Peppermint tonight.
No. Now she's just like everyone's favorite mom. That's her job now, which she's so good at. Like Love, Simon. She was so good in that movie, I think.
She's the mom.
In Peppermint. Right, right.
Voice in Llama Llama, the cartoon.
Oh, is she? Okay, good. That's good. So what's your number three?
Well, my number three is Much Ado About Nothing with Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson and
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Keanu Reeves almost ruined that movie. Yeah. Almost. He was so bad. So bad. It's just to the other cast members' credit that they were so amazing that they counterbalanced his terribleness. I laugh out loud every time he's on the screen because he's dreadful.
Yeah.
He needs to stick to John Wick and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one. I mean, that play is so funny. And Benedict and Beatrice, it's just hilarious.
Well, and I think that Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson were married at the time that they filmed it. And their chemistry together was just so good, and the story is so good, and it's so funny, and Michael Keaton's in it, and he's hysterical. I love that movie. It's just a classic.
That's a really good one. Yeah. I think actually the one Joss Whedon did is kind of fun too.
I haven't seen that one. It's on my list. I meant to see it. I can't believe I still haven't seen it, given he directed it and everybody that is normally in his stuff is in it, and that it's Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, it's just like him and his friends like filming a bonus movie over the weekend is how it kind of feels, but it's really cute. I recommend it. But that's a good choice. All right. So my number two is a movie everyone's probably tired of me talking about because I love it so much. It's the anime film Your Name by Makoto Shinkai. I absolutely love it. I think it's brilliant on every regard. I absolutely love the animation. I absolutely love the music. I love the story. It's about these two people, that a young girl, teenage girl, teenage boy, that end up switching bodies, and they don't know anything about each other. They basically like Freaky Friday, but in this case, they have no idea who the other person is. And so they start having to kind of leave clues to each other to try to make this work. And it starts out very light and fun. And then it kind of goes to a deeper place. You kind of learn why they had to switch place at that time. And then there's a lot in the movie about once you kind of walk in another person's shoes, literally in this case they do, you understand their humanity and you will do anything you can to kind of rescue them, and you feel that pull of another human being. And so I just think it's so moving and I just love it. It's very bold and it's very romantic. And I think it ends on just the right note. And it's one of my favorite movies of all time. So I absolutely love it. So I have Your Name. And even if you don't like anime, I say give it a shot. You might actually like it, because most of all of my friends who've seen it have at least liked it. I haven't recommended it. I've recommended it to many people. And they at least haven't admitted they hated it to me. So I don't know if they, but for the most part, most everybody that I've recommended to has really, really liked it too. It's just a very, very good movie. And Makoto Shinkai is just such a bold, creative filmmaker. And I'm so excited for his new movie that comes out this year. So, yay!
What's that one called?
It's called Weathering With You. It's called the new movie. So you guys can probably get tired of me talking about that in the near to near
looking
future.
Forward to it.
Yes, I love him so much. But yeah, it comes out in Japan in July. So I'm guessing it'll probably get an awards release in the fall here. But we may not get it actually until next year as far as a wider release, but I'm hopeful we will, because I want to see it right now. Actually, I go to Japan and see it.
That would be a good trip.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So anyway, I just love him and I love the movie and I love the soundtrack. I just love it. So Sean, what do you have as number two?
Let's go with 10 Things I Hate About You. The Julia Stiles, Heath Ledger, and about 50 other people. Is that Taming of the Shrew? Taming of the Shrew in 90s high school setting. Amazing soundtrack. Yes. And like many of these ones, you're seeing a bunch of these, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, a bunch of these people that went on to have these amazing, gigantic careers, all kind of right here in one movie together before they were these iconic actors of the last 20 years. And then just, you know, kind of a classic story in a modernized setting. It's funny. I don't know. Everything works.
Yeah. It's so good. It's 20 year anniversary, I think, this week, if I'm not mistaken.
No,
I didn't know it was that specific, but that makes sense. Cause I saw it. I went to go see it with my sister when she was in college in Abilene, and the sound was cutting out or something like that. And it was like a month or two before Phantom Menace was going to come out. I was like talking to the person that worked there, like, if you guys don't get your sound fixed, I'm going to send an email to Lucasfilm about this. As if, you know, that's the type of high schooler I was.
Yeah. they're going to cower in fear at the email. That's so
you
funny.
Need to fix this audio right now.
That's really funny.
Have you seen the original Taming of the Shrew? Well, I don't know if it's the original one with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton.
I like it a lot. I think it's funny.
I do too.
Yeah, because they were in a rocky relationship for so many years.
Yeah, but I think they got married twice.
Yeah, at least twice, I feel like. And so I think it's really funny. And
I think about that scene where he's telling her the sun is the moon, and then whenever she agrees with him, he flips it around. And I feel like that's what raising children is like. Everything you tell them is the opposite.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like almost all romantic comedies are either based on Pride and Prejudice or Taming of the Shrew. Because it's either the opposites attract kind of thing with Pride and Prejudice, or some kind of bet or wager or article, or there's some kind of gimmick that forces them together, and like Taming of the Shrew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's interesting.
That's true. But I hadn't thought of that before.
But yeah, I love in 10 Things I Said at You when Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character has finally just like had it. And he's like, he's like, you need to stop treating people this way. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's great.
That whole scene is really good.
And then, of course, ironically, that's what gets her to like him.
Right. Yeah. So good. So, all right, what's your number two, Jennifer?
My number two, I think, is a little unconventional, but again, couldn't avoid it. Have you, I don't know if you've seen it, Mickey Blue Eyes?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've actually seen it. That's Hugh Grant, right?
It's Hugh Grant and what's his face? Caan.
Julianne Moore?
James Caan.
Oh, okay.
It's Gene Triplehorn.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And he's, Hugh Grant's obviously British. And
That explains so much.
What's the, do you remember her? Oh, yeah, yeah, you already said it. So she they're dating, they're in love, it's super cute, and then he proposes and she freaks out and says she can't marry him. And it turns out that her family, and this isn't a spoiler, this is the whole plot. They're the mob, they're the mafia, and so it's it's just a whole bunch of shenanigans with a British guy trying to fit in with a whole bunch of like mafia gangster guy. Curates a collection of art things, I guess, for Sotheby's, and then he at least he's the one that stands up there and auctions it all off, and it's just hysterical. There are a few in my opinion distasteful paintings that could be offensive to people. But if you could get past that, the rest of the movie is so funny.
Why is Jesus holding a machine gun?
Yeah, it's those are pretty brutal, but a friend of mine in high school introduced it to me, and I have loved it ever since. We had to go back into the hospital with our firstborn, and it was a whole rough thing, and Mickey Blue Eyes, at least the copy we have, is one of the ones where auto plays once the menu's played a couple times, and so it just played all night long on kind of an unpleasant evening, and it was like a balm to my soul.
Aww.
It was playing. It's such a funny movie. If you watch it, please let me know.
I will. I'll watch it right away.
Excellent. That's really right now. Okay. we'll do a phone date.
Yes. This is going to be a thing. I'm so excited. Night number one. This is very exciting. Is the movie Tangled. Everybody knows I'm a huge Disney girl, but I wasn't for quite a while, actually, for pretty much all of the 2000s. I wasn't really big on any of the Disney films, and I was very disappointed by Princess and the Frog. I appreciate it more now, but at the time it was very disappointing to me. And so I saw these ads for this movie Tangled, and I thought, oh, this looks terrible. What is Disney coming to? And then I went and saw it and loved it. And I think it's actually Disney's first real romantic comedy. It has by far the most banter between the two romantic leads. And they just have such great chemistry between the two of them. The Alan Menken songs are just so much fun. Glenn Slater and, great voice cast. And Rapunzel's just such a fun character because she's so insecure, but she's so sweet. And Mother Gothel is the best.
Yes,
she's so good. They haven't had a true villain like that in Disney since then, and I really miss it a lot. We've had just one sort of villain reveal after another, and it's not a reveal anymore because we know it's coming.
I was really surprised in Frozen, actually. I did not see that coming.
I didn't see it either. But I'm just hoping with Frozen 2 that they go traditional villain, because we've just seen it so many times with everything from Toy Story 3 to Wreck-It Ralph to, Zootopia. There's so many times.
Yeah.
Let's have like a true old-fashioned, evil, conniving, selfish villain. That's fun too. And so anyway, I love it. And I think it has a huge heart, and the lantern scene is just
completely
amazing.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's one of my all-time favorites. So I have it.
An excellent choice.
Yeah. It's a lot of people don't think of it as a romantic comedy, but it really is when you break it down.
Yeah. Zachary Levi's great in that. He's so funny.
Yes.
He's so dry.
He'll always be everybody thinks he's Shazam, but he'll always be Flynn Rider to me.
Eugene Fitzherbert.
Yeah, none of this Shazam stuff. Always be Eugene. But anyway, so Sean, what did you have as your number one?
I'm gonna go with The Wedding Singer.
Good one.
So just a you know, fun concept with amazing music. The 80s setting, like, it was right at that time period where you could start doing 80s nostalgia. So it's like one of the first 80s nostalgia type movies.
Yeah.
So in certain ways, it's like this over-the-top extreme version of 80s nostalgia, which in itself is a lot of fun. It's Adam Sandler not being Adam Sandler. Like, yeah. It has his good aspects without just the immaturity that was so prominent at that point in time in his career. Then Drew Barrymore as the love interest inside of it. And so just a whole bunch of stuff that just hits all the right notes for me. Yeah. You like the two leads. You like the characters. The two leads are both likable, and they're not separated by the fact that they're jerks or anything like that. And so that helps quite a bit. And, they have, actual character arcs throughout it too. So,
yeah, it's really good. And I am not an Adam Sandler fan. So in general, especially anything Happy Madison produced movie, is those movies have just been so bad. It's like, I felt like for a while he had some bet with somebody to see like how bad he could make movies and get them produced, because yes, Jack and Jill, I mean, it just, it really felt like, is this a joke? Like the whole movie being a joke, not actual jokes in the movie.
So people frequently ask me like, hey, can you rank all of Adam Sandler's movies? Like, that would require me to watch all of them. And if you said rank his 90s films, I probably could do that. But, oh my goodness. I don't, anything he's done in the last 10 years, wow.
Yeah. Ridiculous Six. Oh my gosh. Like it kind of became a thing on my channel, which I regret it becoming a thing of me reviewing and ranting about the terrible Adam Sandler movies. But I don't think I did it last year because I just couldn't do it, because they're just so bad.
I never really thought about it like Adam before Adam Sandler was Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good dividing line, probably because Happy Gilmore, I love it. So he had to have started Happy Madison after Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison, I would guess.
Yeah, yes. He did.
So
I think maybe I was after Big Daddy, which
I like that one. Okay.
That one's okay. That one's pretty good. But anyway, yeah, it's just phenomenal. It's just how does this get made? It's crazy. It should be an encouragement to all screenwriters that if those movies can get made, that you can have your
movie. He can do it.
Yes. but anyway, yeah, that's a good pick. I like Wayne Singer. And his songs are really charming in that as well. His original songs are really charming. And it actually made a pretty decent Broadway musical too.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. So Jennifer, what is your number one pick?
Number one. All time might actually be number one, but won't commit because there's too many choices. While You Were Sleeping.
Yeah, it's good.
So good. Everything about it is fantastic. I can't think of one thing that I was like, man, I wish that was different. It's Sandra Bullock at her purest.
Yeah.
And just unfiltered. I love when she puts her dress over her head, the hanger over her head, and then like tries on different shoes and lifts one foot and puts, she's just so real and relatable and charming. And I love the whole thing. I love the, almost appearances, not really appearances can be deceiving, but like thinking you want the one thing and then realizing what you really want. Yeah.
She's so likable in that movie. You're just like, get this woman to Florence. She needs to go to Florence.
Right? Anybody. Yeah. Like, I'm shocked that nobody had bought her a ticket already. Like, she was so charming and lovely and selfless. And I'm like, where are all these people who love her clearly? Why aren't they sending her to Florence? Obviously, we know why. But
yeah. And I love that scene at the dinner scene where they're all talk, like that scene is so like, if you went to a Wagner family gathering, and that's what is people talking over each other and just being loud and obnoxious. And
it's very authentic.
So good. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's crazy family, but it's good crazy family. It's not like toxic crazy family. It's like the kind of family that you want, want to watch. and it's not cringeworthy. It's not like Dinner Party.
Yeah, I agree. It's so good.
And there's so many, like, I kept trying to think of what's the scene that makes me just love. I can't. There's so many. The ice scene is obviously classic.
If you fit into my jeans, I'll kill myself.
And that's when you could say stuff like that. Nobody freaked out. It's so funny. Yeah. And I love their family. I love Saul. He's so great. And I can't.
It's
even.
Really good. It's a great choice. I love it too. So there you go. I think we definitely, if you watched all of these movies, you would have a pretty fun time.
For sure.
Great. So this has been really, really fun. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. And so Sean, how can people find more about you and your channel and connect with you?
Yeah, just look up Sean Chandler Talks About SEAN on the YouTube. If you look up Sean Chandler, you'll either find a football player or a guy that looks like me talking about movies. It's one that looks like me and is talking about movies. And if you just like big franchise stuff like that, I'd love to talk movies with you in the comment section.
Yeah, so I'll put all that in the description section. Check it out. And just make sure you're following Hallmarkies Pod all over social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Give us your thumbs up. We really appreciate that too. And thanks so much, you guys. I really appreciate it. We should definitely do it again soon. Sure. And so thanks again. And we will we'll talk later. Bye.
Thank you for having us. Bye. Bye-bye.